prepared today. So give me a spreadsheet that looks similar to that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't make them. Did you bring some?
Yeah, I brought
some. Okay. I emailed it to him, sure. Is what I did.
No, I got a copy of the one.
I got worried when I started doing that packet, and I thought, oh, I hope they can open these at the end of the day, because I kept tacking stuff on and tacking stuff on. Yeah. Got big fast.
I just put basically the premiums on here for the last 5 years, so you can still see that 5-year history of where we've been. That left-hand column is just the lines of business, the property crime, and the marine general liability, employer liability, employee benefits liability, law enforcement liability, management D&O liability, employment practices, auto liability, auto physical, and the excess liability. So that's all the coverage parts we're talking about. And, let's take it right over that shaded box. You can see we've been with One Beacon the last 3 years, and when we rewrote with them in 2015, they gave us a 3-year rate lock, which means they weren't going to change their rates, and we're going to go up in rate, which is what we've seen with Travelers for those years. So 2018 is the start of a new 3-year rate lock for them. So what we're seeing is a little bit of an increase. Total bottom line numbers, a 2.9% increase.
So we'll go 3 years with this.
3 years, yeah. If we stay with them, we'll go 3 years with this lot. They won't change their rates and charge us more just because the industry's changing rates and they're looking for rate increases. Exposure ratings, we will see rate increases. If we add more vehicles or we add more equipment or whatever, you'll see that premium rate with that because it's just exposure rating. If we have more something, we're going to pay more for it. And when you look at these rating or the increases, where we're really seeing the increases for them or where they're coming up the increases is all the professional lines, the law enforcement, the management D&O, and the employment practices. So that's where they're really seeing rate increases for them. I talked to them. I said, hey guys, what are these numbers? I know they're 10, 11, 14% increases. And they're saying, we're getting killed across the country with these claims. I think if you're watching the news, what law enforcement liability and employment practices have been two of the biggest things out there right now that we've seen. And when you go back and even look at our own loss history prior to really 2013 was the last time we had a big claim. We had a lot of claims that were law enforcement liability and employment practice liabilities where a lot of our claims came from. So a lot of loss control features you guys have put in place have removed all of those exposures. So, we go through each line and look at them. We didn't have a lot of changes. We did have some exposure rating changes. We actually have a few fewer autos in terms of units, but we have basically the cost of those or the insurable amount of those is almost exactly the same. A little bit more equipment, a few more employees, a few more law enforcement personnel, all minor numbers from an exposure rating. So really the majority of the rate increases are the 2.9%. It's just their new year 3-block rate. So that's kind of a good one.
Gotcha.
But we didn't change a whole lot of anything else. It was just the new numbers.
Pretty much the same coverage.
Yeah, everything's pretty much the same. Yeah, we didn't change anything in the coverage components. The only thing that is a little bit different on the coverage is the cyber liability, where before the companies kind of had cyber built in. All the companies are carving cyber out. Cyber's the kind of the hot thing that everybody's trying to figure out what to do with it because claims are kind of all over and the exposures are kind of all over. One Beacon last year gave us some of our third-party liability. It was coming out of the D&O form. That's where they were picking up. So they carved all that out this year and said, if you want cyber, it's going to be a separate coverage part. We really don't have a huge exposure with that. We all have some exposure, but there's not a massive exposure. We're not really dealing with, taking payments online or dealing with a lot of confidential information that someone could hack in and get, so that type of thing. If cyber is important, we can always write a cyber policy, but those things, there's pricing of those, they're all over the board. They range from $4,000 or $5,000 to $20,000. Actually, One Beacon did just a quick quote for us, and they came in with like a $26,000.
But what is cyber liability?
It's basically any type of thing. Where we're seeing the most of it is the kind of things that you could possibly have a claim with. I get an email in, and it's got a virus attached to it, and I send it to you, and I blow your system up, and it causes your business to be down or some other problems you have or ruin your property. You can come back, and that would be a cyber liability on my part. So that's where we're seeing that third-party cyber liability come into play a lot. You see it where, big companies are getting hacked and people are going in and stealing, confidential information. Then there's a lot of expenses with notification of people and all of that. And the companies, the cyber policies do provide for a lot of that. If you had that kind of exposure, it'd be the kind of thing you might want to have a cyber policy for. It just kind of depends on right now, you're kind of retaining that risk exposure yourself. There's not a huge exposure with it, but there is some. So you just kind of have to look at that and say, do you really want to spend money on that? I have some clients that do have those exposures, that do have them. So we have a lot of third-party and first-party liability coverages that we're having. That we're covering our equipment, we're covering everybody else's, everything we have. But those are people that are taking payments and dealing with, you know, like hospitals and dealing with a lot of confidential information.
Well, it's a clerk's office, treasurer's office, and assessor's office. Do we need to cover ourselves for that?
Mark, we looked at the application, and Mark did price it, but we also had Mike Christie look at it.
Yeah.
And he said, we've got the protections in place right now, or we shouldn't really have an issue. Because they take payments, but it's set up, it's not like directly to our system. It goes someplace else, and then we get paid. So somebody else is, if there's an issue, they've got the liability, is the way that thing is set up. And like in my office, I've got our land records, our land records are on our website, and you can look at those there, but we're not taking any payments, we're not putting any confidential stuff out there available. If we've got, in fact, when I set up our receiving book and everything, there is stuff that, over the years, and one of the ones that actually changed by law was DD-214's discharge papers for guys from the military. So we've recorded those forever until probably 10 years ago. They changed the law and they said there's all kinds of information on that DD-214 that you shouldn't be putting out to the public. Mm. So we still record them, but they're not available. They're confidential. They're not available to the public. And then there's some other things that, there's a whole big issue about marriage licenses and a controversy between actually the clerks in the state and the state of Wyoming about who has, the right to release marriage license information. And so my marriage licenses aren't out on the web. They're available in the office. You can come in and get them because they are public information. But there's some of that stuff we just don't put out on the web. And so, but yeah, I think we're fine. We're protected. You can't access the county employees, personnel files at all.
All right.
It's all enclosed.
So if there's a change in the coverage, that's the only part where there's, and we're starting to see more of that. You used to see a lot of just coverages that were built into the policies, but kind of with what we're seeing out there, the companies are pulling, they're carving that stuff out. So we could write standalone, but again, after talking to Mary, we went through and we looked through all the applications to feel that it was the kind of thing that you really need to pay $20,000 for a policy on. So
gotcha. Kind of look at that. Okay, very good. You guys got any questions?
I'm good. One of them locked in at 380 for the next 3 years. I'm happy.
Yeah, that's where we're at. So,
which is still quite a bit less than where we were a few years back.
Yeah, exactly.
So we saved quite a bit of money. Yeah. And they've been, Mary, I know you can talk to her about the claim service and how, as an agent, how working with their underwriting and stuff, they're very user-friendly from my standpoint to work with. When I have questions or we have something that we need, they're very easy for me to work with and contact. She can probably tell you from a claim service standpoint how they've been.
Yeah, because we manage the claims. So the claims that we get are, we hit an antelope. We hit a number of animals during the year. And that type of thing. And as soon as we get the paperwork on that, they're on the phone to us within 24 hours. Right. And we usually have something resolved within a few days. They're really, really quick. They're easy to work with. That's huge. That's huge for us.
Pleased with one bacon.
Yeah. I've been really happy.
They've been good. And even with their renewal rates this year, I know we got, the professional lines are up a little bit, but the property basically 1%, and the marine up 1.2, but we increased our value of our in the marine schedule up 4%. So they didn't even keep pace with even with the exposure with that. So overall, they tried to keep it as tight as they could. After talking to them, they just said, we we've got to increase the professional lines. We just had
pretty much just get 1% increase per year. So.
So another thing you should know as well, Mr. Chairman, just jumped right in.
Jump on in there.
You will probably be approached in your life about the local government liability pool, LGLP.
Yeah.
And the service, the big deal here with being with One Beacon is the service that we get on our claims. But they have all kinds of they had a guy that came out and did a training for the sheriff's office, and they have folks that will come in. They send a risk manager. Usually every spring, and we do, you know, they do an on-site risk management review for us. They have all kinds of learning tools available, so if you wanted to, you know, do something about defensive driving, they've got something you can do a webinar on or whatever, all kinds of things along that line. So, and you don't get that with, you know, in other places, we haven't. The other thing is, too, and we've been really lucky, we have not had a lot of situations where we're in court and where we've had the insurance company represent us in court, but we have the same really good people. They hire really good people in Wyoming to, you know, if it's a wrongful termination suit or something like that, where we have to hire where we get sued and we hire the insurance company covers us. So yeah, it's been really great.
And then last year they sent a loss control guy out. He did a law enforcement workshop with Sheriff Lear, and then they did an employment practices workshop kind of with other department heads. Which is given, and that's all free. It doesn't cost you anything. They're more than happy to any type of loss control. Well, for them, you know, if they're not paying claims, they're willing to spend that money to try to keep, you know, your risk management as tight as they possibly can. So those are all free services that they have that they do utilize. So that's always a good thing to get. That type of
and you don't have that otherwise. So
beautiful. Well, I think we're in business here, Mark. Any other comments or thoughts for Mark? Okay. I think we can accept that and move on. Now, do we need to do this by motion now?
Yep.
Yeah. Or is there a contract to be signed? Or?
No, I just need your approval for it, and
I'll
find
a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept property and liability insurance renewal.
Okay.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we enter into contract with One Beacon for property and liability insurance renewal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right.
Thanks for your hard work. Appreciate it. You've been good to work with, and I appreciate the one sheet. It's awesome. It's great. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
Amber, we're a little ahead of schedule, but we'd sure take you right now.
I'm ready. My first chairman is coming too, so we can just dip in.
Okay, but your board chairman knows what you're going to talk about, right? So
I sure hope so.
I do too.
No, but I didn't bring hard copies of the joint powers agreement. I was hoping it was shared. Did you guys see it? No.
I don't think we got that electronically.
No,
did we?
No, we got some amendments.
Yeah,
the amendments.
Well, the amendments.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's all you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys have seen it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, thank you for taking the time to see me. And so I'm Amber Anderson, director at the Pine Hill Aquatic Center. And I'm here to present for approval the amended joint powers agreement with the Pine Hill Aquatic Center. And so to give you guys a little bit of back history, I'm sure many of you are aware of it, but the Aquatic Center is governed by a joint powers board made up of 5 members. 3 of them are appointed from the school board, one's appointed by the county, and one's appointed by the town to represent. So right now, the current county representative is Julie Maxim. She's been on our board from the get-go, and her term expires July of 2019. So, but to kind of give you a little background on why this conversation started with the amended joint powers agreement, the school wanted to explore back in December. We had presented to them an amended version of the joint powers agreement to simply remove the school district number one business finance director from the amended or from the agreement. So he would no longer have any role, official role with the finances at PAC. He would simply be the school delegator of the money, the funds transferred to PAC, and then internally PAC staff and our finance supervisor would take care of the funds. And so there was that minor change that came about. And when we presented it to the school board for approval, they asked to evaluate further the structure of the joint powers board and see if there was any advantage into absorbing PAC into the school district and taking full financial responsibility and making all of us PAC employees school employees. So right now PAC is primarily funded by rec mill that's levied through Sutherland County School District number one. And then a very small piece of our funding comes from our membership and program fees. So in that conversation, they were looking at three areas. They wanted to make sure that they were balancing the Sutherland County School District number one rec mill budget. PAC had been allotted for the last 2 years more money than had been brought in by the rec mill. And we had taken PAC took substantial financial cuts in 2016, eliminating almost $1 million out of our budget, eliminating 5 full-time positions, doing wage reductions, took away family benefits so it's only employee benefits. So we did some really significant budget reductions in 2016 to help with that, but the numbers coming in from the rec mill still were not meeting what PAC needs to be able to operate. And so they wanted to balance that budget, they wanted to balance this PAC budget, and they want to make sure that PAC was set up for building preservation for future. And when PAC was first established, we have a lease agreement, and here's my board chairman now, so this is Chris Nelson.
Sorry.
We got in early. So, oh, okay. You know. When they originally established PAC in the beginning, there is a lease agreement between PAC and the school district because the building itself is owned by the school district and sits on school district property. And so there was a rent established with the idea kind of a mortgage payment with the idea that money would be used for big renovation projects, major maintenance, to maintain the building for the long run and to preserve it, to make sure that facility exists for long future. When we went through our budget cuts, some of the things that the school was allowing us to do were giving us a little bit of rent forgiveness as we made those adjustments, and so that essentially took away from that asset preservation. So they wanted to make sure in our conversations that we were making sure we would have the money for future maintenance and continuation of PAC. So those were their three focuses in it. And through many meetings, our findings came up to be that absorbing the PAC by the school district did not provide the financial savings that there was originally anticipated. If you are interested in budget numbers, I did bring a budget sheet if you're interested in that comparison. with the school absorbing, if the school was to absorb PAC, it would have limited our funding availability to simply what the rec mill would to bring in. And so for this current year, it was projected for $1.2 million from the rec board. And from the rec mill, and PAC currently has an operating budget of $2 million. So that's a very significant reduction. And by absorbing us into the school, does not allow us to seek any additional funding opportunities, whether it's grant, new partnerships, establishment of a nonprofit type of foundation that would support recreation. So we are thankful for the opportunity that the school has recommended of leaving the Joint Powers Board in place as is. So then that brings me to you guys with the amendments that they are recommending. So on those, the recommendations are as follows. There's the removal of the Sutherland County School District number one financial director, and those tasks would just be reassigned to in-house current PAC staff who have the job expectations and the area of expertise to handle those. They would be requiring our future budgets to be approved no later than April 1st. And that would allow us to bring our budget to the other entities, your guys, the town, and the school, for any comment or approval, if you will, before the July final date of setting our fiscal year budget. And then in the section of financing and projects, it outlined newly adopted allocation methods for both operating funds as well as asset preservation from the school district's rec mill. So from the get-go, rather than giving PAC X amount of money and then PAC giving X amount of money back to the school for rent, that rent would simply be pulled, or that asset preservation would be pulled from the rec mill directly. And so then PAC would receive a little bit less than we have been in the past. And so there was an equation set up that's in the amended joint powers agreement that kind of dictates out how much. So it's a $600,000 minimum year that would be set aside for that asset preservation, with the idea that if the rec mill is coming in higher than $1.8 million, that then 60-40 split until that asset preservation gets to $750,000. And then if it came in way higher than that, and that $750,000 had been, then it's at the discretion of the school district rec board as to how they allocate the rest of those funds. So that makes sure that the asset preservation is in place and that the rec board budget is balanced. And so then my job is to make sure that PAC's budget is balanced. And so we're working hard right now to make sure that we're doing what reductions we can to try to get to a manageable budget for ups and downs, so that we're not constantly going through major budget cuts every time there is potential for there to be reductions in our revenue. And so, and then the final amendment on the Joint Powers Agreement is the section about the school district use of facilities, outlining that Suffolk County School District number one has priority, which has always been in it, and as well as outlining a chain of command for dispute resolution. So putting myself, Superintendent Harnack, at school district number one, kind of in touch with each other if there's something we're disagreeing on. Obviously then going to the PAC board and then the school board for final resolution if needed. Our hope is that by opening up better lines of communication that we're avoiding any of that. So those are the changes that are recommended in the Joint Powers Agreement. And I guess, what does this mean for PAC in our future? We are excited about this unique opportunity in that we have the opportunity, the chance to create something new and different. And PAC was new in 2008 when it was built, unknown to what it could be in the community and what the impact of it could have on the county. And we now know what the strengths of PAC are. We know what an asset it is to the community. We know that people use it as a selling point for retaining and recruiting of employees to their businesses. And we have an opportunity to really expand not only PAC offerings, but also looking at other entities that do recreation and how can we partner together and strengthen the recreational opportunities in this community. And so we kind of get a second opportunity to define PAC and recreation in the community. And so what we're doing now, I'm presenting to you, and upon your approval, I go to the town council next week for their approval. And then it goes to the Attorney General's office for final approval if everyone agrees on it. And then from there, we will start working on some strategic planning internally, creating a task force, evaluating what are all possible options for increasing revenue, partnerships, securing any kind of additional funding. And our slate is totally clean and open, and we are looking for every kind of conversation there could be. So we're excited about the opportunities.
Well, thank you, Amber. Appreciate that. Does anybody have any comments or thoughts on the amended agreement?
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I guess just some questions. It seems like then if you're going to divert up to $660,000 from the rec mill towards our asset preservation fund, then does that not decrease your rec mill that could go to your operating budget by that same amount?
Correct, yes.
So What's the plan for balancing the PAC budget in that situation?
We are working on that. We've currently been paying rent anyway out of our budget. So this last year it was $400,000. The year prior it was $400,000. But the first 8 years of PAC's history, we were paying $600,000 in rent. So essentially, that's money that we don't have a budget for anymore, but it does make our overall operating budget, while it makes our overall operating budget look lower, it also means we're getting less money. So we're looking at opportunities for increasing our revenue flow, evaluating how we are renting out our facility, our programming. Are there new options for programming? We're looking at grant opportunities. And then we'll be looking at what kind of partnerships we can provide to kind of secure some additional funding.
So in light of the changes, I guess I'm wondering, is there still any advantage? I don't think any of us were here mm-hmm. when that Joint Powers Board was formed, and I've never heard what the purpose of it was in the first place. But in today's world, mm-hmm. is there still any advantage in the county even belonging to it, or should it not be absorbed by the school?
Yeah, just, that's a good question.
Facilities.
That's a good question. That's why we started the whole conversation anyway, was there was a number of people that are asking what is the benefit of this. And for us, what the numbers showed was that if we leave it as a Joint Powers Board, we have more investment from a greater number of people and greater avenues for additional revenue creating. Whether that is, like right now, with our funding model, and especially if we were absorbed by the school, we do not qualify to be able to apply for grants.
But as a Joint Powers Board.
But as a Joint Powers Board, we can. And okay. So there's grants with the National Rec and Park Association, with different health entities and stuff that we could potentially apply for and try to make that part of our regular income coming in. Yeah. And so if we were absorbed by the school, we are completely limited to what the rec mill brings school in. So if the rec mill in 2018 brings in $1.2 million, $1.2 million is all we get and all we have the opportunity to get. So we need to adjust our operating budget to 1.2 and see what we can provide for that. And essentially, that means cutting employees, which means cutting programs and offerings that we have for the community right now, and hours of operation that are available to the public.
Gotcha. Is there any possibility of receiving funding from the BOCES program?
We're going to explore that. Their applications are due in a couple of weeks, I believe. And they're a little bit, obviously all grant applications have restrictions on them, but they have to be focused towards certain things.
Gotcha.
So we're very much evaluating what do we currently offer that would we be able to use this grant opportunity for.
Okay, excellent. Go ahead,
Commissioner. Just for a point of clarification, you guys, out of your budget, are paying $660,000 now, and that's going into, I guess you'd call it a capital construction for the future.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, we paid $400,000 for current budget year 17-18, with a reduction.
On top of that, you pay rent.
That is our rent.
That is the rent.
That is the rent.
Yes.
Before you formed this, and you were being charged rent, where did that money go?
Into that same account.
It went into the
account. It goes into like a rental account that's flagged at the school district that is specific for facility restoration.
Okay. So it's always been that way.
Correct.
It just didn't go back to the school.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
It's always been in a rental fund that was used for a lot of different buildings and facilities. Sorry, Amber, for jumping in. But now what the school is going to do, what's going to happen, we take that $600,000 off the top, that is specifically going to go to the preservation of that building.
Of the building. That,
right.
I think that's where
That's why we read the document and why we're redoing some of those things, so that future boards hopefully will not try to dip into that money and see a huge amount of money that we're saving and setting aside for the PAC to be, whether it has to have a a complete remodel or whether we have to build a whole new building 20, 30 years down the road, we want to be able to have the funds without having to come and get money from the community and stuff that we help, so it's solely fully self-sufficient to supply that. So before it was put in the rental, now with this new one, it's actually going to be set aside and put in its own preservation fund for the bathroom.
And currently, some of the money that we have put into rent has gone to major reconstruction projects at PAC. When we did our new addition and added a storage and a weight room and studio rooms, the money that had been paid into the rent fund went for that, as well as we're currently getting ready to put out for bid an HVAC update. And so the school district, through the money that's been set aside, is paying for those big projects.
Thank you.
Commissioner Noble, you have a comment?
Has the Joint Powers Board applied for any grants previously to this date, or?
I presented in 2009 for $100 to the Rec Board grant for odometers for bikes. But that's it. So, yeah, so this is a new opportunity for sure.
Okay. May I speak?
Go ahead.
Up to this point, there hasn't really been a need to.
Right.
I mean, we all know that we've had the funds, the Rec Mill fund. If you looked at the chart, we were sometimes over $3 million, and it was more than sufficient to fund all the things that the school district did. But as the last few years, it's sliding and sliding. We knew we had to do something. We needed to have a balanced budget. We cut the budget a couple of years ago from a little over $3 million down to $2 million, and then we had to supplement a little bit. So we've been doing this. This is just the next level, because we all know, you know, our bloodline's not going to be there forever. That it'll dry up, and we want to preserve sure that this facility and this opportunity is for generations to come. It's just not a one thing, and we do not want to be the ones that blow it for somebody down the road. But we're trying to be responsible and make sure that these things that we enjoy now will be enjoyed by future generations.
Okay, perfect. Any further comments or questions, gentlemen? I think we're probably on board with the amendment to the Joint Powers Board then.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'm okay with it as long as it's understood that there's no obligation for the county funding for operation in the back.
Just as well I cover that elephant.
Put it on the table. Yeah.
There is no obligation to you, but it doesn't mean that we may not come to you for some funds to help us
support.
The important thing is that we still want a voice from the county to be on the board, because there's a representation of the community. And that's why we still want a voice from the city, and we want a voice from the county. And that's one thing we were going to ask. I know we can't tell you how to assign someone, but we were hoping that down the road that we know the same person has been on the board for the whole time. Mm-hmm. But if someone else assigned, we hope that you would assign someone that's an elected official that will have vested interest in the board and in the county, to make sure the county's interests are protected and things like that. Just for food for thought in the future when someone else needs to be appointed to that board. But we want the voice of you, because you can give us different ideas of what we can do and things like that that we may not be looking at. So we want it to be a community joint effort.
Mr. Chairman, going along with what Commissioner Bowsman said, I think, Mary, the number that they would take would be 57 in the line of requesting money.
Could be.
Well, hope this has been a good business for you here today.
We know we have a hard road, because nobody has money right
now. Well, yeah, I think we're in accordance with the amendments to the Joint Powers Board, and good luck in finding your funding.
We will bring the document to you to be signed at a later date once we have all the approvals.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much for considering that and helping us out.
I thought I heard Mac volunteer for that.
That seat
on that.
That seat on
the power board.
Yeah.
We're fun.
Right now, you have Julie Maxson.
She does
a great job.
She does.
But yeah. I know that somewhere down the road, I'm a little concerned that sometimes somebody might get appointed that hasn't
looked forward to working with Mac.
We like people that either work for the county or have been elected to, because they represent the people, and you have a sense, I know you guys do, and I've been elected by the people for the school board. I have a sense of responsibility to my community and to the people because I was elected by them to make good choices.
Yeah.
You get people on there that really weren't elected, they may not have the same, they may have personal vendettas
yeah.
and things like that.
We'll make sure we keep an eye on that.
Huh?
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Amber. Thank you, Chris. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you all for, and I apologize, I was late. I was thinking 1:30.
Yeah.
You weren't late. We started early.
You want to get out of here. I know that feeling.
Pretty much.
Thank
all right.
you all.
See you. All right. Todd and Andre, front and center.
Together.
That's a good job for the Thanksgiving person.
Yeah, there you go.
They often do.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
I use that term loosely.
Can you resemble that or do I?
I was pointing at
you. Oh,
perfect.
My first hot topic. How's that? Okay. RFP. Are we ready to write one?
For what?
The Conservation District building.
Oh.
Are you still here?
I guess we are.
Street time.
I guess we are because we voted last meeting, so.
We're going to stay on schedule.
Yeah, that's right. Better do her.
And that draft will come through you guys as well as. We just want to be careful with it.
Yes.
Make sure that we're.
So.
Covered everybody's bases.
Did you have a comment?
What's a lot of gray area there? Are you turning in the RFP for the Conservation District part of it or the.
Well, it's got to be all of it.
Or is it all at once? Because they haven't got the bid?
They haven't got the bid yet, it was my understanding. That's the reason I'm asking the question.
Oh.
But I think it'll take time to get the RFP together. We've got a lot of.
Okay.
We've got a lot of input between you gentlemen here and madam. How's that? And the Conservation District. Because we also know that NRCS is going to have some comments, I'm sure.
Okay. I think we probably better start the process because it's going to take a while, right?
I think it's going to take us a little bit of time to get through it.
Okay.
At least a couple meetings.
Just as long as we're not getting the cart in front of the horse.
Would not the RFP be a determining factor in
the bid?
What they're going to be asking for a minimum bid?
It will, and I guess what we could do short term, write the upfront stuff for the Conservation District portion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even with that, even if we just do the downstairs, we're going to want to build them walls and stuff stout enough, structurally sound enough as that, to accommodate upstairs sometime in the future. Whether that happens now or later, who knows? Because that was always the plan with the Conservation District from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
is to be able to expand that. But like Mary and I talked, we don't want to get the Conservation District in there knowing that we're going to want to build that second floor, because Mary's lived through that nightmare. You don't do construction after you're in.
Well, I think we're going forward with the idea that we are doing it all, and we're doing it all at the same time.
Correct. But the only thing that would change would be is if the NRCS doesn't.
Yeah, if they don't get the
if they don't agree.
Agree, because that takes away some of your funding.
They have to win the bid for the.
Oh, they're saying.
Yeah.
If they don't get the bid for it, then that second.
So the RFP needs to be in two phases, or the contractor needs to know that the upstairs may not happen. commit on it, but we can pull
contingent
it.
On.
And we could do that person as an alternate, but all the downstairs would be. And I don't know, I don't remember the date when we're supposed to know if that bid's accepted or not.
Well, I was just going to say the RFP, the conservation district needs to be aware of that in regards to working with them on their rental price, because as we discussed at the last meeting, particularly with that elevator, the cost of that, consideration of maintenance, they need to have all that information to see if that's appealed the NSRC or NRCS to swallow.
Right.
But I think we can move forward with the RFP and have that other project in a separate.
Basically, have that second, the elevator and the second floor as an alternate.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Keep in close communication with Mike. Bob.
He's hard not to. He's a good aide.
Yeah.
I mean, he's.
Yeah.
The dates and the stuff, I don't have it in my head, but he does. He can tell you when this, what the NRCSA timeline is and all that stuff. He knew.
Well, their proposal was due the 14th.
Right.
Which was last Thursday, so. Or Wednesday.
Like I say, it might be one of my emails. I just don't remember. I don't remember dates. I don't remember dates or names.
All right.
Because see, they, NRCS, they're requiring sprinkler. Now, I know the district wanted the sprinkler system originally, even though I think we could code this building to where it's not big enough to require a sprinkler system. But where it's a government facility, quote unquote, it has to be sprinkled.
Yeah.
So that may.
Entity of government.
Yeah.
Yep.
We. Okay.
And then one of you asked if it was possible to use the hangar for the snow removal equipment. So I checked into that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it doesn't interfere with their operations of the airport.
It certainly won't.
Whatever they want in there.
Yeah. I could bring my snow removal stuff up there and they still have
it. You guys could store most of your road and bridge stuff.
Yeah.
It's still not a fake. I'm not saying that.
All right. But that's the information we need. So really, they are under no obligation to build. Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
That's what I needed
to do. Did you relay that to them?
I have not. I wanted to relay it to you guys first.
Thank you.
And what I did is I just talked to, I told you guys I was working with Airport Guru, GDA is who they are, a company that's what they do to airports. And I asked him, and I said, he said, Todd, no. There's.
Good. Okay. Save ourselves $100,000.
Now they do need to show. If they go for funds for snow removal equipment, they need to be able to house it.
Right.
That's one of the grant criteria for that. So they can't say, well, we're going to give you $250,000 for this piece of equipment, and it's going to be shot in 2 years because it's
set
outside.
Yeah, but the hangar would qualify.
But the hangar does qualify.
Okay, good.
Are you going to let them know that?
I can let them know.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That was perfect. Expensive answer.
Thank you. It was the answer we were looking for. Thank you.
Well, I
know you're always looking for the answer we want, aren't you?
Nandre had called me. I don't know if you guys was aware of.
No, this is new.
Oh. Yeah, don't tell them.
No, it's fine. I need help.
So with the good, here comes the bad.
Yeah. Well, no, we've got some frost heaving at the clubhouse.
You got what?
Frost heaving in the sidewalks.
That patio in the back.
So the doors won't operate.
Two of the doors won't. One of them won't, I mean, it won't open further than that. And the other one, when it get to that point and kind of come on the concrete. So.
Where's this at?
Clubhouse.
I looked at golf.
Golf clubhouse.
But I think.
Do you suppose that's due to extra use during the winter?
No, I don't. I think, me personally, and I have no real good explanation or anything, but we had no snow this year. We had some, we had no blanket.
And
everybody says, well, that patio doesn't get snow on it anyway. Well, they're correct, but outside of that patio has a blanket on it, and you got a building on the other side of it that kind of keeps that heat, holds that heat. I mean, my recommendation on it, I did talk to Charlie, even though that's way past warranty. But I had him go look at it, and he says, Todd, he says, let's see what it does over the cycle of the year. He thinks it's going to settle back down, which so do I.
That was going to be my question, is that it'll probably go back down. Okay.
And then next year, who knows if it'll come back.
Might come back.
If we keep having problems with it, Doug thinks that he, you know, those doors could be pulled out and then raise the threshold on the bottom just a little bit. But if we pull those doors out, we should put new doors in, because those are the cheapest, crappiest doors I've ever dealt with.
Okay.
So
well, let's see what happens through this season. And then if we have to, we can address it next season, right?
That's fine.
Devil's advocate. Are we creating a hazard for fire emergency escape and exit that won't
right.
work function?
Right now you are.
So are we setting ourselves up for something?
Well, actually, no.
I mean, there's another set of doors there.
Because you've got other exits. You've got other egresses.
And the amount of people in that building right now is minimal. Minimal.
I mean, I would guess within the next month, the doors are going to operate fine.
Yeah. So before they start golfing, that thing should settle, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But
I'll keep an eye out.
And if it doesn't settle before they start golfing, then we'll address it.
Well, the other option is you would just go and run that concrete.
Well, yeah, I don't
want to
do that though.
It's going to mess with the doors. Those bed legs.
Station a sledgehammer next to that door in case it won't open.
There's your fire exit.
Odds are the door will be broke before it settles.
All right.
If it's a hot enough fire, for sure.
Okay. Well, let's see what it does. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Have you shared with them? Rendezvous point?
No, I haven't.
Do we want to?
Sure. I got an email from Paul Jensen wanting to know if we wanted to re-advertise for the addition at Rendezvous Point, which
I thought they gave up on that.
Well, they did.
Till now?
We've advertised three times. Is that right?
No, we only advertised for bids once. We only opened bids once.
Yeah, because we didn't get bids the first time.
Oh, that's true. We did advertise twice. Good call.
Yeah. Yeah, we got no bids the first time. We got one bid.
Okay, two.
Two bids the second time?
Hogan and Dan.
Anyway, wants to know if we'd advertise again, which Todd asked back if we had gotten an extension from the fire marshal on our plans. Because they're only good for a period of time,
right.
Which that hasn't happened, and I don't know.
I'm not inclined to advertise again. I'm open to suggestions, but at this point in time, we're trying to do the least amount of construction that we can. So I'm not ready to.
Well, I don't see, which I told Mary, I don't see the bids coming in.
Any difference?
I mean, unless they're going to change something on the drawings.
There's your answer. Unless you're going to change something on the drawings, no.
No.
And
not even that.
No.
Just go with no.
Well, I don't think they asked for the extension from the fire marshal. And if they got to go through all that, they're going to spend Because I mean, they did all the architectural, they paid up a lot, as you guys recall, and it was a nightmare.
Right. Okay. That's my answer.
Not at this time.
Yeah. Not at this time. Thank you, Matt.
My pleasure.
You're gonna have that put on your epitaph. Not at this time.
We're not sure he's here. Not at this time.
Andre.
This wasn't bad enough.
I know it. Now you got the podium and everything.
It's so fun. Just going to go through a list of things we've been doing and what we got coming up, some big things. Got that heat exchanger put in at the courthouse. That boiler's running again. Pretty spendy job, but a big job, and it's done. We still need to get some estimates on re-piping all of that so it works the way it was meant to work, so we're not messing up another heat exchanger, which that's already in the process. They finally agreed with our idea on how we would like it. Keith had his ideas, and Braden from Superior Boiler had his ideas, and they kind of hashed it out, so they came up with a solution, but we got to get numbers on that. The bale fill out here, we have that pump for the fire systems that's bad, that we've kind of band-aided together. It's just barely passing inspection right now. We got a quote, it's $30,000 for the new pump. It's a very special item,
yeah.
And it's big. And I think that we have to order it. I mean, I need to get it. If we don't get it soon, the prices of metal is what we're anticipating are gonna go up, and it's gonna be way more. But
I'm just kind of, that's an expensive pump.
Yeah, I mean, but if we don't have it, we don't have a fire sprinkler system. It's just a big, massive pump. We're not replacing the motor. The motor is good, but we need to replace the pump, and it corroded really bad. And we kind of rebuilt it to make it pass inspection. Fire engineering helped us do it. This thing puts out massive amounts of water, and when that thing got set off over there, then we went in there to clean out the sump or whatever, because there's stuff in it because it's a trash facility, and they did the inspections and everything, and it was in bad shape, so we just have to replace it.
And all right.
There's no real options. Another fire pump we just got done. This one not nearly expensive. We actually had it rebuilt. As at Sandraw Ambulance, that one's all done. That was another big deal that we had to take care of. All these things come up when we do all the inspections for all the buildings. We had some valves that we had to move. This was a project we were getting ready to do. We actually were almost finished yesterday. Pinedale Library, the air mover system was one of the air movers. The piping was causing an airlock, and so they were just fighting the system. So we repiped it, and it seems to be good now. A few more things we've got to finish on it. Big Piney Library, I got to get some more options. The air conditioning units there, one of them's bad, and the other one's just as old and getting bad. But the numbers that they came up with were pretty high, so we're trying to come up with some better options first, and then I'll get back with you guys on that.
What did you decide with the big, didn't we have some light issues on to redo the lights in the big private library?
We still want to do that.
I've got Keith scheduled to come up and walk through that building.
Okay.
I actually did forget about it and then remembered again, but let me try to get them up here next week.
Okay. Yeah, we need to get a whole design, lighting design done, because what's there is not even kind of right.
It's a mess.
Okay. And hot. doing some lighting in the evidence room as well. They need light in there. They can't see very good. It's kind of a bad situation, but that's nothing out of control. Some of these are just reminders for me, so I'm trying to pass those. Mondrop fire system we're going to install over there. We're getting closer to that. I think Chad might have talked about it in here. We got some cheaper prices. It was really high. And then just to make sure we weren't paying too much, because we use the same person, the fire engineering and those fire system guys, they're really good. But so we went and got some better pricing, those guys said they could do it differently. We talked to fire engineering and said, yeah, we could do it like that as well. And so it's cheaper now. So I think Chad's pretty happy. Parking lot at the golf course on the blacktop section up on top. When you first pull in, you can go to the main parking lot, or you can go right up here where the handicap is. Blacktop is messed up. I mean, it's like this and just falling apart. So I had Lance come out yesterday, and he's going to give me an estimate to cut that section out and just patch it. I don't want to do that whole area, because last year with some of the ones we did, I was blown away on how much blacktop costs. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Marlton generator at the fire hall's all done. Worked out great. We put in that one that we had and converted it, and it's all installed and working. Doors, we already talked about that. And then the jail doors, we're still rolling down that road. The guy flew out and took some more measurements and some more pictures. We did a lot of that stuff for them, but they're more comfortable coming out and verifying it, considering all those doors, they have to be made.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Excellent. How are you sitting with your budget with all that?
Pretty good. Everything looks, we're still
within budget.
Oh yeah, we're doing well.
That's all I needed to hear.
I was worried because we didn't get the snow.
And so we
just kept rolling.
Yeah.
And I was, we were anticipating we're going to get this snow, and then that'll kind of slow us down. So we're doing okay. And
good.
We're still doing okay.
Perfect.
I watch it.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Speaking of fire, sorry, I forgot one. Fire station. I've got some.
Oh yeah.
Which one?
Pinedale.
I've got some colors that I'm going to send to Chad for the siding, and Mary.
Design specialist.
Because I know he wants to get the doors on this summer.
Okay.
So at least if we know what color the building's going to be, he can probably. I just barely got that email.
Okay.
Okay.
You're not going with fire engine red, are you?
Sure. So much for matching the library.
Right.
let's make it
an eyesore. Good eye.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
That's why you pointed at Mary. That's why you pointed at you.
Yeah. Always. Yeah.
It's
good.
All right. We're going to adjourn. We are adjourned.
Okay.
On this,
you don't have this electronically, do you?
What electronically?
This.
Yeah.
This link.
Well, that link. Go to the website.
Yeah, you gotta go to the website. Okay.
And then the survey is right there. You don't have to do that. There's a link on the website,
you click on the survey,
and boom, you're there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta be simple there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy.
I'll do it.
Easy.
On the insurance spreadsheet.
Let me give you the one that I have.
Well, did you need it?
I have one electronic.
Oh, okay.
So,
Thank you.
Oh, I don't need that.
Oh, yeah. I'll get that.
Dr. Burnett, if you would ride with me, we've got to go check my mailbox to see if my little package came.
I thought it would have been here a couple days ago, but for some little reason, it's not here.
It's not another.